said, yeah, on page in the yellow one, in Sikh Ziran, page Yud Zayin, Ois Chaf. Anybody that's ever crossed over the threshold of the world of Breslov knows that one of the main nakudas of Reb Nachman is Simcha, and it's impossible to go into the whole sugya. Learning the Sichas Aran, and we'll fill in with a few of the Sichas that are in different Oisias, which we'll see. Go a little bit, Mam Aleph and Mam Beis, there are a few that really would fit in over here. The Seder here is not clear in the Sichas Aran. But many, many Torahs in Kutam Aran, some of which he brings down here in the note. Kuf, Chelik Aleph, Simei Beis, Reshma Beis, Chelik Beis, Yud, Chavtad, Ram Chesed, Kimat, there's not a Torah that doesn't have the Inyan of Simcha. It's one of the big Avodas, this Rav Nachman is teaching us. Kishe Ha'odam Kol Hayom B'Simcha, when a person is in a state of Simcha all day, when that's his Mahalach in life, Simcha, that's how he lives. For such a person, it's very, very easy to put aside an hour, meaning some time during the day, in order to break his heart, in order to shatter his heart. And to a person who hasn't learned Chassidus, that would sound like the strangest thing in the world. That if a person's always besimcha, it's easy for him to have some time where he could have a broken heart. Because a person who hasn't learned thinks that there's a stira, sees that there's, seems there's a conflict between those two emotions, simcha, joy, and a broken heart. Rabbi Nachman himself was the living proof that not only is there not a contradiction, but each one is mashlim the other. Each one fills and perfects the other. So Rabbi Nachman says that a person who is besimcha, a person who's kol hayom besimcha, who lives besimcha, it's easy for him to have some time, to put aside some time of the day, l'shabris libay. Of course, one needs to know what's the meaning of shvius alive. We spoke about this many times over the years, and we're learning Ursa Tshuva also some time on this. Here we'll see in the Sikhas. L'asiyach as Hashem levavai, l'fnei Hashem esbach. A person who's generally besimcha, it's easy for him to put aside some time of the day, the broken heart, to pour his heart out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to speak to Hashem. K'mavu eslenu kama pa'amim, as I've explained a number of times. Avu kishiyesh le'atzus chas v'sholem. When a person is chas v'sholem, depressed, it's very, very hard for a person who's depressed to go at this and to go by himself, his baidus, and to speak openly and honestly to Hashem. The nature of a person who's an atzkus, when a person's sad, they withdraw, they recoil, they move away, they move into themselves. Depressed people, chalila, depressed people generally do not communicate. They don't communicate well. They're frozen in that way. I'm not talking here about someone that knows how to articulate himself better, a person who has a better vocabulary. That's all nonsense. I'm not talking here about speeches. We're talking about being able to pour one's heart out. A person who has a broken heart, for that person with a broken heart, Rabbi Nachman is saying, it's very easy to pour out his heart and to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even to communicate with a good friend and to communicate with someone that you love. But anybody here amongst us, this chaver right now, who's ever been depressed and who hasn't gone through Mar Shechera, but you know that when you're depressed, you don't feel like talking to anybody. You can't talk to anyone. Not to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to other people. You just can't talk. You don't feel like talking. You're completely, completely closed up within yourself. That's why atzvus, one of the reasons why atzvus is the most dangerous thing, it's in the Sitcha Acha. Atzvus separates a person from others, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A broken heart brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, brings you closer to other people. Of course, we need to understand the difference. We'll talk a little bit about that. We've learned a lot about it over the years, so I think that everybody's familiar with these inyanim. But a person who's in a state of atzvus chasham kashle lez baidu lefashi chasri. It's very hard for him to go his baidu this and to speak what's on his mind and his heart. Vayin v'mokam acher kama ha'odam tzorech lez chazrik lez samech tamid. Rav Nachman speaks in so many places about how a person has to be mischazik no matter what, lez samech tamid, to always be besimcha. Will be yoseh, and especially, simcha is especially important, will be yoseh b'shas ha'tfil. Especially davening. Davening is an act of speaking to Hashem. It's a time when we need to be very open with Hashem, to be able to speak honestly and to be real. And again, when a person is sad, when a person is depressed, he doesn't have a cheshik to talk. He closes up within himself. Davening is a time of speaking. We're not allowed to think of it just that God forbid is some sort of a ritual that we just say words. We're speaking to HaKadosh Baruch. And a person who is depressed doesn't have a cheshit to speak, to communicate. Therefore, b'yoseh b'shas ha'tfila, simcha, especially b'shas ha'tfila. And a person has to force himself. That sounds strange to us. How do I force myself to be besimcha? Isn't that a contradiction? The average person, if you just ask, he thinks either I am besimcha. Again, we've spoken so many times about this. Either I'm in a good mood or I'm not in a good mood. Either I'm happy or not happy. What do you mean to force myself? Rav Nachman says, La'achriach atzmai, b'chol koichaisa, to force oneself with all of his koiches, lizkais l'simcha, to be zeichet to simcha. Simcha, as we've learned, is a midah, and like all other midahs, it requires a avodah, and one can acquire the midah of simcha. Simcha is not a mood, that's a completely non-Jewish way of thinking. Happiness, joy, is not a mood that things in life either put you into a good mood or put you into a bad mood, and you're almost a helpless victim of circumstances. If it happens to be a good day, so then things went well at work, in the family, so I'm besimcha. And if it happened to be a bad day, so then I'm God forbid, sad. That's not at all the Jewish way of thinking about it. But that's the prevalent way that the world looks at happiness. Happiness is a mood. Sometimes I have these moods. Sometimes it depends on what's going on in my life. It depends on all different things. But Rav Nachum says, Sichel ha'chriach atzmai. You have to force yourself. B'chol k'chayso l'zkos l'such. Especially by davening, but at all times. But this is a very hard avodah. Menachem says, "V'amikhi lizkas l'simcha, zekoshev akavid l'ha'odam lizkas l'zeh, yoyse mishar kol ha'avodas." To reach this midah, to acquire the midah of simcha, that you're the balabas over your simcha, over your emotions. Not that if someone says something that I don't like, it makes me sad. If something good happens, if I make money, I'm happy. So I'm back and forth like that. But rather to be a balabas over the midah of simcha. Rabbi Nachman says, "Zekosha vekaved l'ha'odnam lizkais l'zeh, yoyse mishakol ha'avodas." It's the hardest and the heaviest thing. It's the hardest thing for a person to be zeicha to reach this mishakol ha'avodas from all other avodas. Why the Rabbi says, "Kosha vekaved." Kasha means difficult. Kavod means weighty, hard. Also, but I don't know what the difference kasha and kavod in the context. Maybe kasha means to get there, and maybe kavod means to sustain such a feeling, which we know is true. You could be mesamech yourself, and you feel happy, but then it's very, very hard to sustain that. Maybe that's the meaning, I don't know, of kaved, of it being heavy. Kasha the kaved laha adam. Liskas laza yoyisim sha kol havaydus. Next page. Ona va'ona. Years ago we spent a lot of time on this, so I'm not going to go, during Oseh Tshuva also, I'm not going to go into this now by Riches. And this is something which people from outside, like many of the other things, you know, Rabbi Nachman, people that look at it from the outside don't understand. And they misinterpreted. One of Amar Kifi Hanira, she ef shaliska is lava lasimcha, ki im ayidei in yane shtus. It seems Kifi Hanira. It seems very often that a person can't find any way to come to simcha unless he involves himself in inyanei shtus, narishke, joking, silliness, narishke, shtus. Of course, only things that are something that's mutter, not chas v'chalil, anything that's has in it something that's not nice or anything. Shtus, kim ayidei inyanei shtus. Lasais atzma kishayta, to make yourself like a fool. Kishayta. Lasais atzma kishayta. The lasais inyanei tzchayk ushtus, and to engage in inyanim of laughter and shtus, silliness. What Rav Kook called maat sichlus yikara, a little precious silliness. Maat sichlus yikara is Rav Kook's way of saying it. A little precious foolishness, silliness, that sweetens a person's life. When you meet a yid that has that, if it's too much of a shir, that is. But if it's just that right amount, that's what a yid is, a geshmaki yid. Makes him a Jew that's happy and makes other people happy. That to laugh and to be able to share a funny story, a joke. Again, it's a very, very delicate balance. Rabbi Nachman is talking about shtusim as a means of reaching simcha, not as an end unto itself. To make oneself into a shaita is only a temporary emergency, you know, way, but not to be a mamish shaita. That's not a chachma to be a shaita. To be stam, a fool. But to be a serious person that knows how to lift himself out of any darkness with a joke, with something funny, with a simcha, with a little spazier, a little ball playing, whatever it is, but to take oneself out with some shtus. Rabbi Nachman is a very holy thing. You can see how people are going to take that. No, let's just go. This is the take it. The shaitan will take it and make a whole thing about it. The person that doesn't know the whole mahalach of the Talmud Yevul Shem and Rabbi Nachman. It's not the person, but it's the risk to the Talmud Yevul Shem. The risk of becoming depressed is so that possibility of being depressed is so dangerous. It has such a horrible effect upon one's entire Avodas Hashem that to use a little bit of shtus, a little bit of narishkeit, was considered to be much less dangerous. As long as everything's not against nothing against the Torah, to use a little bit of shtus is less of a risk than becoming a person that's a marishkeit, that's depressed. Marashchaira leads to all the avarice of the world, and especially Pagam Habris, which he talks about right now. But a person using little shtus, just to be misameach himself, shtusim, stories and funny things. Is there anybody that, you know, there were tzaddikim that were like that? I told you once that I heard this from somebody that was in Farakwe. There was a Dr. Ryan, the old Dr. Ryan in Farakwe. So, Allah Shalom. So, someone was at his Levaya, and Reb Shlomo Freifeld, their side of Levaya, was very close to him. They were very close. And Reb Shlomo was saying a hesped to Dr. Ryan. And he said during the hesped, he said that, Dr. Ryan, he knew how to tell a joke. He could tell a good joke. So there's some really from the guy that was there, this person was standing next to him and said, What's he saying? Zalates? He's saying that's a hesped? He's saying Zalates? He's Zalates? He's making lights on it? He's saying that Dr. Ryan was a lights? I mean, Reb Shlomo Freifeld was saying that's the greatest praise. He was a doctor. He's Isaac Yom Valayla with people, Nabuchadnezzar mentioned sick people. And he knew how to tell a joke. He knew how to lighten a person up. To be honest, Reb Shlomo was like that. He was so funny. Reb Shlomo was so funny. He was so funny. When I was zeichet to be with him, I was always laughing. My sides were hurting. He had such a sense of humor. He was so funny. He had a fantastic sense of humor. He was not vaidin. Avodas Hashem. A doctor deals with chronic mention. A rebbe deals with chronic mention. All of us now are ourselves chronic. And people with no chronic dementia, sick, depressed, sad, between the Samech people. Rabbi Nachman see brings the Gemara with the Bat Chaim. To be Samech people. There's any time that you were with Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld, no matter what you walked in with that was weighing, you walked out feeling great. You walked out feeling great, happy and good. He just had a way of working. He'd sit there and had the most serious look. I once told you that I was there talking to him about something, and he got a phone call. So let's say the guy's name was Baruch. I'm just using a name because this person still lives in Farakwa, and I don't want to say name. He has a different name, so you might. So let's say the guy's name is Baruch. Stop, Baruch. So Reb Shlomo, I'm sitting there, and Reb Shlomo says, "It's you. Baruch, it's you." And I got nervous. He sounded like upset. And I started to inch out, I didn't want to state if something's going to happen here. And he says, "Baruch, you know, I'm very angry at you." And I started to go like this to get up. And he went to me. And I said that. I said, "Baruch, I'm very angry at you." He says, "You know, how many years do I know you, Baruch? How many years?" And he's like, "Hey." He says, "Yeah, I know you, whatever. 15 years, Baruch, 15 years. You know me 15 years. I can't believe. After all these years, you would not put any schmaltz herring on the table for the kiddush. 15 years, you know that I like schmaltz herring, and all you could bring is pickled herring." And then he gave out such a laugh. And he says, "Baruch, I love you, but make sure to bring the right herring. Careful." Sorry. That's why the curtain's there. It doesn't hurt when it falls on you, unless you get the pole. Shkaya. Nope. It's just like, and I guarantee you that person, who I know, the person who's on the phone, I guarantee that person was probably going through some sort of an Indian in his life. The employment just knew a little bit to make it better for him. It's not vital. It's not either. Ma'as sichlis ikar. I even remember Rav Soloveitchik sometimes. He was a very, very, very serious person. Really, very serious. Now, if they use the word intense nowadays in very different ways, but he was really intense. L'chol adayas. He was very intense. And every few weeks, he would say a little joke, which honestly we mostly didn't understand. But he would have such, his face was always so serious. And when he would when he would say something that was a joke. I remember the jokes that he said, but and then afterwards we would say, "No, you know that." He was like, with his mind. So, but his face, the way that it lit up, and he would giggle a little bit, and we were all like, for the whole week, we'd be happy from that. It was just like, not even a minute, 30 seconds, he was like, he would laugh a little bit, and we all were so happy, and it was just a different, which, in that world of risk, it's not so push it, a joke with, to live like that. It's not so push it. And it's part of the Avodas Hashem of Tzaddikim. It's not stam. It's sons. It's the avoid. It's an avoiding. But for each person, a little bit of shtus. A little bit of shtus. Rak ayideizeh. Boring the simcha. Sometimes it's the only way you can come to simcha. You just don't know. You're in such a dark thing. You can't come to simcha unless it's something silly and have a good time. Rak ayideizeh. Boring the simcha. Look, how nowadays, anybody that understands human personality knows how true this is. How true this is. And now everybody's talking like this. Now everybody is saying these kind of things. You could try to imagine what this was like when this was when Rabbi Nachman first said these things. You can imagine that it would cause a big tumult. A bigger one than Dr. Ryan's Levaya with the Kripshaim, with this yeshiva guy. It's honest. Kishahadam Zaychil Simcha. He says something very remarkable at the end, but I'm not going to go into now. The Kishahadam Zaychil Simcha. When a person is Zaychil Simcha, Azai Hashem is Baruch Ba'atzmai, and Hashem himself, Shomer Isai, guards him. Umatzal Isai, Mipagam Abus, and Hashem is Baruch watches over that person who's Besimcha, from Pagam Abus, that he shouldn't Chalila be Pagan. To damage the kedusha of the bris milah, that the inyan of simcha is the greatest way for a person to be lifted above the whole sickness of pagam habris is with simcha, and the surest way, God forbid, to fall into pagam habris is with marah shechem. That modern society is so buried underneath mountains of pornography, I'm sorry for saying it, that there's so much pornography, that is the saddest commentary on the matzav ruach of modern men. A person who is be'etzem, besimcha, who's happy, who's filled with simcha, he's very far from the inyan of pagam habris. He's far from, by nature, he's far from pagam habris, and there's a special shmir from Hashem. I can't go into this now, but when a person who is depressed, depression, and that inyan of pagam habris, the cherry rain blender spot, the two inseparable friends, depression and that tumor of pagam habris, they go together. So all of the entertainment business, which is all inyan of tumor, the whole entertainment which is filled with pagam habris, with that, in that inyan of being pagim the bris, all the entertainment and movies and so on, and all the things with the internet, it's a simon of how much sadness there is, of how much marish chayv there is, that there was never such a marish chayv before, when people were happy and had simple lives and they worked and they had a simple way of living Even though life was hard, but there was a pashtus and there was a simcha. Now everything is so complicated, and there's so much pressure, and there's so much marashchair. Half of America is taking antidepressants. People are so much with the depression and the sadness. And that goes together with the pagam habris. What the connection is not to talk about the rabbim, but there's a very, very deep connection between depression and that inyan, that machla of pagam habris. Now, it's important to fill in, if you turn to page Lamed Tes, in any of the editions, Ois Mem Aleph, because really these sikhs belong here in terms of understanding what we're talking about. What's the chiluk between sadness and a broken heart? Okay, I'm assuming almost everybody here knows these things, and you've learned them. We're just going to do some chazor. So if you turn to page Lamed Tes, Ois Mem Aleph, Leiv Nishba, Va'atzvus, Eina Inyi Nechad Klal. So why we have to do this now. A broken heart and sadness, Eina Inyi Nechad Klal. Is not one in, is bechlal, not one in you. It's not one thing. A broken heart and sadness is not the same thing. Einu in yinecher klal. Kilev says, first of all, kilev nishbahu b'leiv. A broken heart is exactly that. A broken heart. It's something in the heart. Aval atzvus, sadness, as it was understood by the Kadmainim, that atzvus huba min ha-chol, from the spleen. It's associated with bile, with the spleen, with the shmutz in the body. Atzvus comes from the tchol. So first of all, there's a different makor. Leiv nishbar is b'leiv. It's in the heart. Atzvus is in the... Atzvus, again, what does it mean? It's in. It's nothing like you cut open and you see anything in there with a microscope. It means that it's mislavish, it's enclosed in these parts of the body. Va'atzvus shehu mihatchol, he's sitra acha, sadness that comes from the spleen, from the shmutz in the body. He's sitra acha. He doesn't say it comes from the sitra acha. He says it's the sitra acha. Depression is the sitra acha. It's the sitra. It's the other side. He's sitra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu despises it. Hashem Baruch despises depression. Makes no difference how fancy you make it, and what names you give it, and how philosophical and self-reflective you are or something, and introspective in your depression. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sonei Oisa. Hashem despises depression and sadness. Everybody does. Man, a person's created Tzalem Hakim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sonei Atzvus. Af Ben Olam Sonei Atzvus. The same way that Hashem Baruch despises sadness. There are times you meet someone, a person says that they're trying so many years to get a shidduch. Sometimes you could see in that person that there's such a sadness. He said that it says in the Sfarim that person that's depressed, that's sad, that other people run away from that person. They run away. They don't want to be with that person. When someone's depressed, no one wants to be with the person that's depressed. Only sometimes other depressed people. But that's not because of companionship. That's something else. It's a very deep Indian. Like, you have to chavayim like that. The whole depression chabur. You have people like that. That's something else. It's a very, very remarkable thing what that is. There's an expression, misery of kind. It's true. But a person who's healthy doesn't want to be with a marishchay. Doesn't want to be with a marishchay, with a depressed person. So there's sometimes a person walks around depressed. I'm not talking about the punim. They can put enough paint on it to make themselves like a clown to look happy. But people feel when that's a depressed person. You can sense that it's a depressed person. You don't know. When a person's besimcha, you want to be with that person. A person's besimcha, a shidduch comes. When a person, again, not there could be other things, of course. I don't mean to simplify that that's the only reason that there could be an inyan with a shidduch. It's ridiculous. But sometimes a person who's depressed, that's scaring away people. Because people don't want to be with a depressed person. They don't want to have a shaykh is depressed. They have their own problems to be with this person. When somebody is besimcha, simcha is a very attractive arena. It appeals to people, especially because the world has so much asus, so much sadness. People have so much sorrows that when you meet somebody that's besimcha, it's very, very appealing. When a person's ba'atzvus, See, Akash Baruch Hu Sainei Esa. Akash Baruch Hu hates depression. It's a very strong word that Menachem uses. Sainei. Hashem despises, he hates depression. It means it could be a person knows how to learn. A person is otherwise a very good person. There's something about that person that makes him despicable, Hashem Yachin. Asus. Hashem despises us. Avalev Nishba. That's what it comes to Asus. That's by sadness, by depression. That's the Sitra Mamish. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sainei Esa. Avalev Nishba. However, a broken heart, a lev nishba, who chaviv of Hashem's blood. Oh, the Baruch Shalom loves broken-hearted Jews. It's chaviv, that's very beloved to Hashem. Ki lev nishba yakar ma'oid ma'oid be'ein of Yisbarach. A broken heart is very, very precious in Hashem's eyes. Yakar ma'oid ma'oid be'ein of Yisbarach.
I'm not learning about why broken. That's my, what's the result?
Okay, let's learn more. Let's see. Vahayatayv shiyiloy lev nishba kol hayayin. Rav Nachman says, hayatayv. The emphasis is Rav Nachman said, it would be good if a person would be able to have a lev nishba all day long. If a person would live with a lev nishba. It doesn't contradict simcha. It would be good. But he says, "Ach, anoshim ke'ekechem yichoy." The next page, "Lovel leiv nishbar la'asus." But I'm not recommending it for people like you. He was talking to his olam. So certainly for us. He says, "People like you could fall, could slip from a leiv nishbar. It's very easy to slip from a broken heart into sadness. It's very easy to slip from a broken heart into sadness." So what's the Lev Nishba about? Why? Alkein Tzrichin Liyached, therefore, Rabbi Nachman says, we shouldn't go around all day with a Lev Nishba. It's not for people like us, because we could get from that, we could go into depression. Ken Tzrichin Liyached Shor Layoim, the Tanya says this in Tesvav, all this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu talk about this, but rather, A person should set aside some time of the day. Shiloh Lev Nishbar, you should have a broken heart. What's the broken heart? Over a person's distance from Hashem, over one's aveiros, over the suffering of other people. But it's not the same thing as becoming depressed. We're going to learn more. He should put aside time. Don't just walk around like that with a leg nishba. Deikus always besimcha, besimcha, besimcha. And to set aside time, and during that time, a leg nishba. Kemavu b'malkam achim. Dahein l'zbaid l'shaba libo l'fanim izbarach, which means to be misbaided, to go by yourself, and to break your heart, l'fanim izbarach, before Hashem. It doesn't mean stam. Again, not to slip into this mood, into that mood, but l'shab alibay l'fun of Yisbarach, talk to Hashem about it. Not just to a broken heart, to talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. K'mavu b'malkam achir. Al shah kol hayom kula yirak b'simcha. But the rest of the day, rak b'simcha. To set aside some time, a few minutes, but the rest of the day, Yerak b'simcha. Va'alzeh hizir ha'isonu kama pa'omim. Ibn Nosson says that Ibn Nachman used to warn us about this many times. L'sameitz u'l'hizgaber, to be strong and to overcome a desire like this of a broken heart all day long. Shelo yelon alev nishbar, not to be stunned to have it's a broken heart, but just to set aside, not to let it happen to you, that's usually sadness, but to be kaveya time, to set aside a certain time, if not every day, once a week, whatever it might be, to set aside time. Va'atzvus klal lo. But sadness, never at all. V'sha'a kol ha'yoyim yeh b'simcha. The rest of the day, yeh b'simcha. How can you tell the difference between atzvus and shvius alev? Atzvus, membeis. Atzvus will come mishu b'kas of erogis. Depression is like a person who's angry. K'meishim Yisrayim, his tainus. Whom is sloinin all of his baruch, who is he have tainus against? If not against people, he has tainus against God. He's angry. A depressed person is an angry person. He's angry with Hashem. Why? She says, "Mislena olivis brachas from alsha eno esel avitzayna." He's depressed because life is not the way he wanted it. Didn't go the way he wanted. He's angry. He's a tayna. If life, he always thinks that if I would be like this, if I would have like that, then I would be happy. That's what I was talking about before. That's where moods, everything, what happens in my life, that makes my mood. Bad things happen, I'm in a lousy mood. People, and if you listen to me, like, why are you in a lousy mood? So what do you want from me? That's how. If you would have lost $1,000, you'd also be in a bad mood. If this would happen, you'd also be in a bad mood. I don't have enough reason to be in a bad mood. Did you ever meet a person that doesn't have reasons? Aside from someone who's lo aleinu, who's mentally retarded, Hashem yirachem, or little children. If there's any person that can't, if you ask them, if you write down on a piece of paper why would you be in a bad mood, or why you were 10 minutes ago, why are you going to be 10 minutes from now in a bad mood? I can write the whole paper like this, and like this, and like this, and like that. All kinds of things. And I don't know, his tzaros and other tzaros, whatever it is. A mood. Rav Nachman says that atzvus comes essentially from anger and bitterness, that life is not the way I wanted. It's not what I expected. The one who's behind my life is the boss. It's the Bar Yoylam, Sakadosh Baruch Hu. So the depressed person is usually angry at other people who messed him up. He has things in his head, cheshbain is going way, way back, of who hurt him somehow in life. And then, on top of everything, there's the economy, problems with health, and so on. So who do you blame? If you're not Jewish, you blame the Jews. But if you're a Jew, then you can only blame God. What are you going to do? And you blame God. Depressed people are filled with kindness against the Kodesh Baruch, even though they might not in any way think about it like that. And you could ask a very firm depressed person, do you have kindness against the Kodesh Baruch? Chas v'shol. I'm a ma'amin in Hashem, kol ma'adavach malatav, everything is tov. If everything is so good, then why are you always so sad? If everything is so good. He's just saying those words because he has to say them. But inside of him, he feels that things are not good. And if things are not good, who's behind all the not good? The Baruch Hu is behind all the stuff that's not good. So, the person who's depressed is k'mamishuhu b'kas u'b'roiges. It's angry. K'mamishuhu Yisrayim, he has tindus, whom is sloin and complaints. All of his baruch hasu shalom. Al she'ena o'yisulei kirit, al she'ena o'yisulei b'tzon. A person who's honest, makes a cheshbon nefesh, can stop and can think about that. It's very hard when you're depressed to think straight. But afterwards you can think straight. And you realize that it was a kas and a roiges, that it wasn't what you wanted. It wasn't the way you wanted it. And because of that you become very, very sad, become very depressed. So underneath it there's an anger. And depression is very, very much connected to anger. Some people direct the anger against other people, and then those who direct it against themselves. But they're angry. What do they do with that anger? It could be with God, it could be with people, it could be with themselves. It could be all of that. Chas v'shalom. Avalev Nishba is not like that at all. A broken heart is not like that. A broken hearted person is not an angry person. Other Rabbis are a very, very sweet person. It's not angry. Avalev Nishba Hu Keben Hameschate Lifnei Aviv. He's like a child that's entreating and pouring his heart out to his father. He loves his father, and he's asking his father for help. And he knows that his father loves him. Ketinoik, like a child, shekoyvel ubeichel lifnei aviv, that's crying out to his father. Aus nisrachik mimenu. Why are you so far from me? Like Yosef at Tzadik. It's hard for us to understand without going into the whole parasha because of the Yigashim. But the Yosef at Tzadik, all of those years that he never had a shaychus to his father, but even when we learned the Mefarshim, we tried to understand how could Melo, when he was in jail, he couldn't. Even when he was in Potiphar's, I couldn't. But when he became already, when he became a big knacker in Mitzrayim, what would have been for Yosef HaTzadik to go send some guys to his father? You have a good answer for that? I mean, you've over the years, you've all learned about this. What do you say, Yisha?
There was a
shvur, a chayim. Mm-hmm. So there was a technical problem in the way. Yeah. And if not for that, can we understand? So in other words, what we're saying is that Yosef HaTzadik was chalishing to do that. He there's nothing in the world that he wanted more than to make contact with his father. But there was a maniyah, there was something that was in the way. You're right, Chazal said, there was something in the way. There was something blocking.
But his brother,
not him. Yeah, but the Chayim, the Shua, takes effect. Took effect upon him. But in itself is a complicated thing. If we didn't know that, Yisha, if we didn't know that, and we're just reading Chumash, I'm opening up the Chumash and we're trying to understand, like a Ben Chumash Lamikri, we're trying to understand. And we didn't hear about such a thing. There was a shul. So, of course, we believe that. But I'm saying, if we didn't hear such a thing, so, how would we understand that? Yeah.
Well, maybe Yosef knew that he had to bring the dream to fruition, that all those brothers had to come and bow down to him.
Right.
So, if he would have, you know,
right, so we all the years we were trying to be mechazik ourselves with that. That's you're saying good. That's right. That's it. It's a hard thing, no? I mean, wouldn't we normally say? I'm not saying that it's not true. These are. No, I'm saying, wouldn't we say that? How your nevius comes about or your dreams? Oh, Kosh Baruch Hu, go work that out, no? And therefore, I have to do something so horrible like that, not to speak to my father for 22 years, thinking that his father is grieving over him. Where's my son? 22 years. Because he wants to make sure that the dream's going to come. You know, since when do I have to make sure that's my inyan to make sure the dream's going to come true? It's a hard thing. That's my inyan. I have to make sure the dreams because of my dream, my father's got a surface. So that came right off. It was a funny dream type. So wasn't that? Chalaimus, your father's sitting over there crying. Chalaimus. Yeah, Leia.
Then the union that they have to have when they had a shvua, they actually.
What Hashem in?
He wasn't given by Moshe.
Okay, but it's like what Yishai said. Oh, we know that. It was a very serious thing. Okay, say that. We know it was a serious thing.
What's the question?
I'm asking you. If we wouldn't know about that, you don't see any, there's no shvur in the Chumash, right?
No.
It doesn't say anywhere. We said we're Makabal. there was such a thing. I'm asking, is there any way for us to understand something else that was in the way? Why a child would not reach out to his father? 22 years. Huh? There's no... There are messages that people... Yosef HaTzadik was he was the second richest guy in the whole world. Well, come on. You can't send to Eretz Yisrael. How far is it to go to Eretz Yisrael? He knew his parents' address. So there's no phone. There was no mail. No, there was mail. That's not an answer. Right, it's not an answer. So I saw someone that was talking about this. Huh?
He did know. Obviously, it was Yosef HaTzadik.
What didn't he know? He didn't know that his father was.
Yes, he did know, but he also knew that his father had to go through this. We should know many things.
Ah, that's a strong thing. That I know that my father has to go through something, so therefore I shouldn't try to get my father out of some sorrow, because it's my thing to say that my father has to go through something if I can get him out.
Yeah, but he did not know it's on a human level. We're not talking about that.
So
but
something higher.
Much higher, of course.
But I saw somebody that said this. I saw somebody that said it's not simple. The last thing that Yosef HaTzadik knew, the last contact he had with his father, what was the last contact that he had with his father? His father sent him to go down to the brothers. It was a bad situation with the brothers, and the father knew that it could be very, very dangerous. Right? And he sent Yosef down to the brothers. And Taki didn't work out. It was a bad situation. So I read somewhere that it could be that Yosef HaTzadik believed that his father didn't want to have a shaychus to him. It was a horrible misunderstanding and a horrible mistake. That he believed that his father sent him down there to the brothers with the intention to cut him off completely. The last thing, remember, that happened before he sent him down, just go in the Chumash like a 5-year-old reading Chumash. The last thing was, Hava Ani De'imcha. He told the dream about how they get the second dream. The first dream didn't involve the parents, but the second dream involved the parents, which couldn't be Rachel, right? Rachel Imenu was could only be Leah. So they were going to all bow down to you. And you remember that Yaakov was not pleased with that. It says Aviv Shomar Sadova. But he said to Yosef very strongly, do you think that your father, your mother, and all your brothers are going to bow down to you? So the brothers hated him. And Yosef Tzadik, and Yaakov Avinu, Aviv Shomar Sadova. The next thing is he's sending him over there. Leirais Yisachar B'Tzayim, he's sending him over there to bad, bad place, in a bad situation. So I saw that someone suggests the possibility that Yosef HaTzadik believed that his father never ever wanted to see him again. His father had it with him. After the Indian that he had that he brought, that he said about his brothers, and on top of that he made with the Cholim about his parents bowing down to him and everybody bowing down to him, who are you? And that he sent him away into that situation. The next thing he knew is that his brothers were going to kill him, or they didn't kill him, they sold him, and he came down, and he thought it was finished. His father didn't want him anymore. It's a horrible, horrible thing to feel that way. That's the most horrible feeling in the world, if that could be. And then what's the next thing? When the brothers came, if you look in the Chumash, when the brothers came, this parasha, the last parasha and this parasha, And he asks them, what's doing over there? And they say that there's an old Zokai, we have an old father, you know, our old father, and the other son, the other son named Yosef, was by a wild animal, and now our father's crying that besides that what you brought upon him, what was brought upon him, now the younger brother is going to now also. Yosef understood that all of those years that Yaakov, you know, was crying. That all those years, Yaakov was grieving over him. He thought that Yaakov didn't want to have anything to do with him. But that all of those years that Yaakov was crying. And then that's when it says he couldn't hold back. and that's when he broke down. He broke down, and then he said, "Ha'aid avichai," which all the mafreshim point out. What's he asking? Is my father still alive? They were just telling him all about the whole thing with their father. And he says, "Ha'aid avichai, ha'aid avichai," and he's my father still. I mean, he's my father. He still loves me. All the years he loved me, I never knew that. It's a horrible, according to this way of looking at it, it's a horrible, horrible miscommunication, misunderstanding, which happens a lot in life with people. With parents and children, it happens a lot. A lot. A misunderstanding. You think that your father hates you. It's a misunderstanding. Never worked out the sugya. Didn't talk it over. Didn't talk it through. He didn't know. He thought that he was sent down, he was sent to the brothers, that the brothers should finish him off, and it was with the father's haskam, and he used to love me, but after the whole ma'isa, with the chalaimis, with everything else. I saw this is brought down, it's not an original thing, but I saw the rabbi from England, Rabbi Sachs, he brings this mahalach. But it's around. I heard it years ago, such a mahalach. I don't remember where. But that would explain many, many things if there was such a thing in Yosef at Tzadik. Okay, we believe 100% it was a shvu, which is not necessarily a stira. It's not a stira of the shvu. But what was Yosef at Tzadik thinking all of those years? And why? And what is it that broke him? Why is it that he didn't send word back to his father? I'm alive. Everything's okay. I'm coming for Pesach. what's going on? Why can't he come here to visit? Shalom, every year you get crazy from this. And I'm sure all of you must be the same as me. But it's upsetting. Yosef Tzadik, unless Yosef Tzadik felt, and there's a shur, but Yosef Tzadik felt that... He named his son Menashe, Neshani Lekim. It's called Amoli Vez Kol Beis Avi. So when the Chavim were talking about on Shabbos, to forget my father's house, what's good about forgetting my father's house? Unless Yosef HaTzadik associated such horrible pain with that memory of his father's house and what he misunderstood on his Madrega, whatever that means, to be the loss of his father's love for him, and falling from favor, then there's nothing in the world you'd want to forget more than that. It was all of the love that he had when he was younger. If it was true that there was such a machshava that all of that had changed and had soured, then the last thing you want to think, you're not going to think back on how good it was back by back at home. So he names his oldest son Menashe, the son of the king. It's called Amam, it's called Beis Avi, to forget my father's house. I wouldn't want to forget his father's house. So all of this, just saying this, I was just thinking about the parish, you know, just thinking about these things. A broken-hearted person is like crying out to his father. There's nothing more painful than that, for a child to feel that I've done something that's caused my father to be distant from me. It's not this, it's not depression and sadness. It's begging for closeness. It's all coming from not a tiny, not a tefillah, not a kapeda, because I'm longing for your closeness. I want your approval. I want you to love me. It's not anger. It's not rejection. It could lead to that. It could. But in its correct measure and form, a leiv nishba is like a child. Like a child that's crying for his father, that wants to be close to his father, and it's not, God forbid, with any anger. A broken-hearted person feels the Israach, because we spoke about a lot from the Maimer, from the Rabbi Ashab from the Babish, and this Indian you have also from the Mittler Rabbi. In Rosh Hashanah, he talks about in the Rosh Hashanah, unbelievable things. Meriris, bitterness, the bitterness of that feeling of being far away from Kadosh Baruch. It's not the same thing as sadness, but it has to be, not that you just get into that mood. It has to be that you feel yourself, that your father, and you cry to him, and you talk to him, and like this child, he says it out, and he's talking, he wants to explain. But according to this way of trying to understand the universe of the father, of course, the tragedy was that they didn't speak. Which is a lot of times it happens with parents and children. I just tell you how many times I've heard that the parents and the child or something, the father was not. I was just before I came to Ma'ariv tonight, I was visiting someone, Chayla, and he's a fool, and I was going there, and he was telling me about somebody in his mishpacha, the father and the son, that they hadn't spoken for something like 30 years. And he's trying to make them together. And so misunderstandings. And causes terrible Zubrachenkeit in people, these things. But if we talk things over and we cry out to our Father, each person, to say it out and to talk about it and to try, so then it could come afterwards, like we're going to learn next week in Mitzvah, that it could bring to the biggest simcha. All right.